This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. I hope your spring is going well. Before I get into the topic today, I want to make an announcement on some retreats we have coming up in the mountains of Colorado. So on June 21st to June 23rd, that's a Friday through a Sunday of this year, I'll be holding a men's retreat in a Christian retreat center in Beulah, Colorado. That's about 70 miles south of Colorado Springs. I've led retreats there before, and it's a beautiful setting in the mountains. And then the weekend after that, June 28th to 30th, I'll be leading a wives retreat. And this is for wives of husbands who, where there's porn or sex addiction or sexual sin in the marriage. And we've had a wonderful time in there in the past with the wives retreat. And then September 13th to the 15th, we'll have a couples retreat. This is for couples, again, a Friday through Sunday. And so these are all three of these retreats are in Beulah, Colorado. Again, men's retreat, June 21st to 23rd. Wife's retreat, June 28th to 30th. Couples retreat, September 13th to 15th. You can go to the website at blazinggrace.org to get more details. And rest is a critical part of the Christian life. And if you read through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus went away to desolate places often, and he went away alone for prayer often. And there's an invitation from him to come and to rest. And these are times of rest and equipping and community and prayer. We spend time in prayer. You'll have the Saturday afternoon completely off for rest and seeking God and resting with him. I get into what prayer in silence looks like and how to connect with the Lord. And there's equipping for men and wives on how to heal and spiritual warfare. I get into that. Same thing for couples. So I invite you to come and go to the website, and you'll find out all the details and how to sign up. So last week, I began what is a two-part series on single-minded focus. And what I'm doing is going and reading quotes from saints who have gone before us. And what I find, and I like to read a lot of books from these men and women, because I find a lot of time that they have a single-minded focus in their relationship with God, where they would set a lot of the pleasures and entertainments and distractions of this world aside. And these days, we are choked with everything all the time, with smartphones and TVs and sports and entertainment and a million different things that can, if we're not careful, can choke us. And these people had said they didn't have that, of course, not anywhere near the extent we have. And I don't think a lot of us realize what this stuff is doing to us spiritually. I don't think we realize that we're not who we think we are sometimes. A lot of churches during these years would spend a lot of time in prayer. There were a lot of prayer meetings, especially with Charles Spurgeon's church. They had prayer meetings going throughout the week. They were attended by hundreds. It just amazed me when I read that. And prayer meetings in American modern churches, a lot of them don't even have them, or if they have them, they're buried somewhere. And that's a big mistake, because prayer is the engine that drives everything. So single-minded focus, that's what this series is about. Taking a hard look at, Lord, am I really as close to you as I should be? Do I really have the kind of prayer life that I should be? And before we get any further, if there's anything that's choking you, particularly sexual sin, pornography, anything along those lines, promiscuity, that's what we're here to help you for. We do counseling and support groups, and I speak in churches, so feel free to go to the website and ask for help. But, you know, let's start working together. And so the first quote I have was from a man, well-known, Charles Spurgeon. He was a preacher from the 1800s in Great Britain. He was born in 1834, died in 1892. And when he would preach, he didn't pull any punches. And he would talk about hell and sin often, and even to the point where in a biography written on his story, it was told that some pastors would come to him and say, if I talked about hell as much as and sin as you did, I would lose my congregation. But the thing is, Spurgeon's church grew like crazy. At one point in the 1800s, it's one of the biggest in the world. And why? Because we're hungry for more than just God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. We can't just park there on the love of God. There's so much more in Scripture. We need the whole counsel of God. So this is the first quote from Charles Spurgeon, and it's rather sharp, where he says, I want you to get a clear view of the wrath of God that threatens your own children, friends, neighbors, and kinsfolk unless they are saved. If you could get into your heart as well into your creed the sincere belief that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, as it says in Psalm 9:17, if you would remember that for anyone who rejects Christ, there remains nothing but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, as it says in Hebrews 10:27. If your soul could be made to melt for heaviness because of lost spirits, past all recall, beyond all dream of alleviation, meaning there's no second chances after death, surely you would become awfully earnest about souls. We should hear praying of a mighty sort if believers sympathize with men in their ruin. Who talks like that these days? But hell is just as real as heaven is. As we know from Scripture, the things that are unseen are more powerful than the things that are seen and more long-lasting and eternal. So there are a lot of people every single... I think I read where 160,000 people die every single day. And a lot of those are going to be going into eternity where there's no second chances. They'll be going into a place the Bible calls, Jesus described as one of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no out. There's no second chance. This life is the only chance we have to turn to Jesus. And this a message like this is missing from so many churches. And that's dangerous, because some of what happens is the mentality that we can just treat God as a Santa Claus or a grandpa who just loves us and is all hunky-dory with whatever sin we commit. And that's crossing over into the stream of a lukewarm believer that God would puke out of his mouth, as we saw in Revelation 3. We have to warn people. Don't play games. There are people in church, I'm sure, every day, every Sunday, that are on their way to a Christless eternity, and they're playing games with God, and they're playing games with sin, and we are not warning them. And there's so many that are falling away right now. What the heck is wrong with us that we don't open this stuff up? We should be warning people. Look all through the New Testament, not to mention the Old Testament, with the Old Testament prophets of, there was a lot of warnings all through Scripture. Don't play games. You've only got one shot at this life. And if you don't know Christ and you're listening to my voice, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, crucified for man's sins, resurrected on the third day. He came that he might give us abundant life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, and then give your life to him. Surrender your life to him. It's not a matter of I believe and I'm done. It's I believe and now, Lord, I'm going to be seeking you. I want to walk with you. There are too many people that get the message, I believe and I'm done, and then they start drifting because they really don't want to surrender their life to God. We have to warn people and challenge them, just like Spurgeon did many times. Vance Havner, who I quoted last week, born in 1901, said this on Charles Spurgeon: when other preachers preached, it was good. When Spurgeon preached, there was fire. Is there fire in our pulpits in America? How about those of you listening in other countries? Is there fire in the pulpits of Great Britain, where people are from time to time struck with conviction? When's the last time that you went to a church and were struck with conviction for not giving Jesus your all? It's a rare occurrence for me, I can say that. I mean, very rare. And I think a part of this is we're not spending the time in prayer. We have not made prayer a top priority. We do not have prayer meetings. Our churches are weak. I don't care how loud the music is. The volume of the music does not equate to spiritual power. Spiritual power comes from prayer meetings and people on their knees confessing sin and crying out to God. And that's, we're missing that today. I'll read another quote from Charles Spurgeon. I wish the Lord's power would come upon some of his people who do nothing, that they may be dreadfully miserable and so unhappy that they cannot stay at home but are compelled to start out and do good. It would be a blessing if every one of us felt, perhaps there is something more I could do for Christ. I shall do it at once. Perhaps there is something I might give to Christ, some Christian service I might be involved in. Perhaps God has given me a talent I have never used, or I have treated like an old sword that hangs up unfurbished and rusted. We live in such a dark world that we must not waste the tiniest piece of candle. All of you listening to me, you were not born to waste your life with thousands of hours of entertainment and screen time. You were born, as Jesus said, to bear fruit that you might glorify God. Don't waste your life. Pour your life out. Remember the parable of the talents, where Jesus handed out 10 talents to one guy, 5 to another, and 1 to another, and the 10 and the 5 talent guys went out and invested immediately, and they multiplied it, and God the Father was pleased with them and then gave them more. And then the one talent guy buried his talent in the sand. You know how much a talent is? It's 75 pounds. So even though you're thinking the one talent guy, he got nothing. 75 pounds of gold is what he got. You know how much that'd be worth today? At 2,000 plus an ounce? I don't know what, 75 times 2,000, I'm not thinking clearly right now, but it's a heck of a lot of money we're all given. That represents the time we're given. Broken bread and pouring out wine, is that your life? Remember Jesus Christ crucified for us, who poured out his life until the very end. Are you pouring your life out? But there's a little bit of caution here, because there are some people who are really busy for God, but are choked and have no relationship with him. Like in the church in Revelation 2 that Jesus confronted, that's where he said, you've done all these great works, but you've lost your first love. So these comments from Spurgeon are not about getting busy for God and neglecting your prayer life and your relationship with Him. Far from it. Because Spurgeon was big into prayer, huge into prayer. Your relationship with God comes first. Your relationship with God is a source of all ministry. Wait for Him and ask Him what He wants you to do. Don't just go out and charge the hill and assume that's what He wants you to do. I've had somebody ask me a little while ago, what are my spiritual gifts? And it was in the context of something he thought I maybe shouldn't be doing. And I said, my perception of my spiritual gifts does not matter. Because there may be a time, and there probably has been, when God has called me to do something. And if I'd have categorized my spiritual gifts and said, nope, I ain't doing that. That's not my spiritual gift. Now I'm in a place of disobedience. Remember the story of Moses in the burning bush? God shows up to Moses and says, go to Egypt. And Moses said, nope, not my spiritual gift, in so many words. I'm not a good speaker. Go find some. He literally told God to go find somebody else. And man, I'm waiting for the thunderbolt at that point, but God, with His grace and mercy, didn't do that. But the Lord is the source of ministry. And if He is not first, then we're wasting our time. But when He is first, don't just sit there and rot on the sidelines. Go out and make an impact. Some of you have been set free from some kind of sin, maybe sexual sin, maybe alcoholism, bitterness, anger, whatever. You now have a gift you can offer to other people who are struggling in those same areas. Go and offer that gift to them. Maybe you can start a support group. We need a woman to lead one of our prayer groups. We just had a volunteer step down. We would love to have you, ladies, if you're willing to lead a prayer group. Same thing for men. We need men who will lead Zoom prayer groups. Get plugged in. I've worked with people that we've helped, and they've broken free and had their lives changed. And I remember one guy, I was encouraging him to get involved and maybe start a group, and he said, nah, I don't want to go there. And that's missing it. And maybe it's not for everyone, but there's so much we have to offer. Don't sit and take God's blessings or rot with Him on the sidelines. That's not the life we're meant to live. We're called to be devoted to good works. We're called to bring forth good fruit. And you remember in John, it's either 15 or 17, if any branch doesn't bear fruit, what happens to it? It gets burned in the fire. And I'm not going to get into a theological debate on salvation, but that's a pretty heavy warning. Don't waste your life. Don't sit in a doctrine world where you're always thinking and breathing knowledge, but you're not doing anything. Be doers of the word and not hearers who delude themselves. Pour your life out. And then I have now some quotes from Vance Havner, back to him again, born in 1901. You can't tell much about a church on Sunday morning. It's Wednesday night when you find out what a church is about by how many people care enough to come to pray at the prayer meetings. Prayer meetings are the measure of the Christian and the measure of the pastor. What a preacher is in his prayer closet is what he is. So right off the bat, does your church have a Wednesday night prayer meeting? Does it have any prayer meetings? And why not? And what he's saying there is anybody can sit on their butt and take in a sermon, but prayer is where the work comes in. See, when you pray effectively, you can't just pray from your head. You can't sit there and recite sermons. True prayer that is powerful comes from the core of your heart, from your emotions, from your being, from you. I've sat in prayer meetings where people are confessing their sins and they're weeping and the sense of the Spirit of God is starting to fill the room. And then there was a time that was happening, and an elder of the church started praying, and he started praying a sermon, basically. In other words, he was praying from his head. And as soon as he did that, bam, the Spirit of God, the sense of that presence just vanished. Head Christians, doctrine heads, I've talked about this before. Do you have a real and vital love relationship with Him? Prayer comes from the heart. Fervent prayer comes from the heart. You can't fake that. Oh, I mean, well, yeah, you can. You can talk loud, but it's not going to last very long. We need prayer meetings in our churches. This has been lost, and this is one reason why we're so weak. And then Vance Havner again. What we need is preachers who will take their Bibles and spend some time alone with God. And then they would come out a new man. Havner would go out into the woods in the East Coast often for stretches at a time alone with God. He did that often. I like to go out to the desert. Here in Arizona, I'll go for 1, 2, 3 nights for no other purpose other than prayer and spending time with the Lord and resting in silence with Him. And those times, it's just wonderful. It's experiencing His presence and hearing His voice. And part of the reason I started doing this years ago was I saw how Jesus would constantly go away alone to the wilderness, to the desert to pray. And we're missing it. We're missing it when we don't have prayer meetings in our churches and we're not men and women of prayer. And this is another quote from Charles Spurgeon. "Look upward and let us weep, O God. You have given us a mighty weapon and we have permitted it to rust. You have given us that which is mighty as yourself and we have let that power lie dormant. Weep, believer. We have been defeated and our banners trail in the dust because we have not prayed. Go back to your God and confess before Him that you were armed and carried bows, but turn back in the day of battle. Wake up. Be astonished. You have neglected prayer. Wrestle and strive with your God, and the blessing will come. Look up then and weep. Look on prayer no longer as romantic fiction or as a tedious duty. Prayer is real power, real pleasure." And I agree 100% with him. I love prayer. I love spending a day in prayer with the Lord. But who talks like this? Weep. Who talks about mourning? About who mourns about sin these days? And I love his approach. We should be brokenhearted that we're not who we could be. We're not as close to God as we think we are. We don't have all the spiritual power we think we do. Skimming the top is just going to church on Sunday and having a few minutes of prayer in the morning. If even that there's no spiritual power in that. You're just practicing trying to be a really nice, good person because that's what good Christians are supposed to do. The life and the power and the fruit of the Spirit come from a life that has been anointed with prayer. Go hard after that. David Brainerd was a traveling missionary, and he was born in 1718, died early at 1747. And back in the 1700s, if you get a respiratory disease, it could end your life early because they didn't have all the medical advances that we do today. And this is a quote from David's diary, David Brainerd. "I spent this day in prayer and fasting, seeking the presence and assistance of God that He will enable me to overcome all my corruptions and spiritual enemies." And then another quote from his diary. "I have been exposed to one of two things. The first is to love earthly objects as if some happiness could be derived from them. The second is death from despair of not doing any good in my life, and I would rather choose death than spend my life for nothing." And then if you read his diary, you'll see that there's constantly statements like this where he spent a day in prayer and fasting. When's the last time you spent a day in prayer and fasting? In the context of fasting, Jesus said, when you fast, not if. Prayer and fasting. And David Brainerd's diary has affected, this is 3 centuries ago, it's been affecting many ever since then. And he didn't even know it, but he was devoted to God all out, all the way in. And that's what we have to do today. We have to be all the way in with God, not playing games, not seduced and choked with the entertainment and pleasures of this world, going all the way in. So that's my challenge to us today. We have to light up the prayer meetings, go all the way in, broken bread and poured out wine. Don't hold back. Make your life count with whatever little time you have left. Thank you, my friends, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.